Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I could say that I am a he-man. I am a manly man, and I am the king of my kingdom. My wife would disagree, and she'd slap me in the face, punch me in the throat, and I'd kind of crawl off in the corner and go, okay, honey. I've been married 31 years, and boy, there's a battle for you right there, 31 years. I've been with my wife 36 years, four children, about to be a grandfather for the first time. I'm having extra kids. Somebody dropped off one time, a little 12-year-old guy, and now he's 23 years old, and he's a ranger and in the military, and he's a stud. But I was brought up by a guy who was born in London, England, my dad, and he was kind of a street fighter and made his way through life. He was kind of small. He was like 5'7", 5'8", I think, you know, whatever size he was, but maybe 150 pounds. And so he had to learn how to fight. Because in the 30s and 40s, it was a tough world out there, especially being a little Jewish man in London when the beginning of World War II. So my dad's a scrappy little guy, and so I got brought up by this guy that taught us how to defend ourselves and how to be manly men, and what he would call, you have to be a minch, which is a manly man. And so, you know, I kind of got brought up that way. And then, you know, as I'm 57 years old. I've never been in a fight. I've always been able to talk my way out of a fight, although I fight with my wife all the time, but never, never does it come to blows. She slapped me a time or two when we were young. But this journey that we are all on, you know, I mean, even we're all entrepreneurs. If you're listening to the show, you're either a entrepreneur or you're an entrepreneur. But the journey that we are on in our lives to find out what is this thing called life and what am I supposed to be doing, and I'm miserable or I'm loving life, depending on what you've done. But if you're miserable, then you are searching for a way out. If you want to, you know, change your life, that's what being an entrepreneur is all about, is being the master of your own universe for just a few minutes during this time we have here on this earth. And, you know, I've been an entrepreneur my entire life, since I was a little kid, selling things door to door. And then I got the paper route. And then I started, you know, buying and selling stuff, bicycles and skateboards and motorcycles. And then it turned into cars. And then I was working for Motor Trend magazine, and then the Car and Driver. And then, you know, it's like, here we go. And now entrepreneur, because I am a serial entrepreneur. But I am always in search of, what is a man supposed to really be? I know what I was taught by my manly dad, who's 90 and still alive, punching a punching bag to this very day. But what is it a man is supposed to be? How is he supposed to act with his wife and his kids and in business? And so this show is a little bit for men, okay? Not that women can't listen, so please, ladies, listen up, because maybe we can learn something from The Order of Man, Ryan Mickler, who has just put out a number one Amazon best-selling book. I mean, it literally came out a couple of days ago, called Sovereignty, The Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Men. And now, I met Ryan Mickler, gosh, I'm going to say it's been 6-8 months ago. And ever since, I've been following on Facebook and, you know, Instagram and Twitter. By the way, at Order of Man, if you want to follow him on Instagram or Twitter, his website, orderofman.com, very easy. He has something called The Iron Council. But his new book, I have not gotten it yet. I'm going to get it, and so should you, because from what I'm looking at, I've got kind of the table of contents. Part one, The Battle. And we're going to have Ryan on for the whole hour, and we're going to learn about this battle called life. And hopefully through his journey, being a veteran, a father of four, owning his own company as an entrepreneur, financial planning firm, and a husband and a son and a brother and whatever else he is, his journey in life, he has distilled down into book form, chapter by chapter. Chapter one, the situation. Chapter two, the choice. Chapter three, the path. Part two, the mission. Chapter four, protect. Chapter five, provide. Chapter six, preside. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I am so excited He's listening quietly, and I appreciate him listening quietly because I have to take a break, and then I'm going to come back and introduce him to you. Order of Man, Ryan Mickler. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
So we figure we lay it on you, let you know how we feel about it.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
How did Earth, Wind, and Fire make it into the last segment over there? I don't know. That was not the song I wanted to play. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ryan Mickler's on the phone. He is the author of the book Sovereignty, The Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Men. Order of Man is his whole crusade, I guess I could call it. The Iron Council, orderofman.com on the web. His new book, again, Sovereignty. You can check it out, amazon.com, and he is already number one. Let me just say, first of all, dude, I love you. I love what you're doing, and congratulations.
Alan, I appreciate it, man. I've enjoyed our friendship, and certainly just over the past couple of days, it's been crazy, but it's exciting times.
I want to start. I mean, really, we have an hour, so let's just take it slow, because I typically will just jump right into, you know, it's like right into the book, but let's get to the book. But first of all, introduce you to these folks. You're a young guy.
Well, Go ahead. I don't know if I could do it better than you did it just a minute ago.
No. We're going to give the story. I want to break you down. I want to bring a tear to your eye, because some of these things are powerful, painful things that we got to overcome. But you started out, you know, kind of with me when I talked to you the first time on this show, telling us about your story, but I want to get in a little deeper. You're a veteran. You served in Iraq in 2005 and 2006, but you had gotten married 6 months prior to going over to Iraq in 2004. My God, that is a rocky start as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that, you know, it's like that must have been a tremendous pressure and stress on a young guy. First of all, you join the National Guard, which doesn't always see and doesn't usually see action. And then shortly thereafter, of course, it was after, you know, the 2001 9/11 thing. And maybe you were figuring, I'm going to get in there and do whatever the hell I can do. But you were like right in the thick of things. Plus, you're a newlywed in essence. What was that like for you, brother?
It was wild. I remember actually it was November of 2014, I get a phone call from my section chief. Basically, he informed me that our National Guard unit was going to be activated. And I came home. I was in retail at the time. My wife and I, after 3 months of being married, moved to Southern California to open up a retail store, clothing store. And she went home for Thanksgiving. And then I was going to meet her after I shut down the store so that I could take care of the store and then be up with her and her family. And we were all sitting around the dinner table at Thanksgiving, and my father-in-law must have seen something in me because he said, "Man, Ryan, what's the matter with you? It looks like your National Guard unit's been activated or something." And he had no idea.
Wow.
And I said, "As a matter of fact, we have." And the whole room went silent. And that's how I had to tell my wife that our National Guard unit got activated on Thanksgiving. It was on Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
At the dinner table with the entire family. And then, 2 months later, we shipped out to do some training. We were 6 months stateside. I got to see her a couple of times before we left for Iraq, and I was there in Iraq for 12 months as a, you know, newlywed. We were married for 6 months at the time, so it was a real challenge. She moved home with her family, and I went off to war, and such is life. And we kind of had to do our own thing for about a year and a half before we got to come back together again.
Man, well, first of all, thank you for your service and your commitment. I mean, the fact that you probably could have pulled all kinds of golden parachutes and figured out a way to get out of it, but you didn't. You just said, "I'm going." And I think that, you know, watching the State of the Union the other day, one thing, no matter whether you love this president or not, you got to love his patriotic flavor that he gives out to the world of, we want to take care of our veterans and all this, you know, it's like, to me, you folks, the veterans and our active duty men and women and their families are to be honored in this country. And I want to make sure I say that out loud because it's so important. And nobody knows except people like you what you folks endure and go through that are really almost unhuman. I don't think the average person, if you pulled them out of their life and said, all right, you're going to war, they would fall apart. So I can see why you write this book later on in life, Sovereignty, and because now it's a part of you. It is you. It's trying to figure out, okay, I've got these children, and I see some sons in that group, by the way. So I understand that you do have, you know, boys that could be going to you know, off to war someday, and you need to prepare them and others for what could come, and I think this book will help with that. All right. We're going to come back with another several segments and learn a little bit about this book, The Sovereignty, The Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Men. This is a very important show, folks. Please listen up. Please tell your friends. Please share. Entrepreneur.com. I'm Alan Taylor with Brian Mickler, and we'll be right back.
Then I saw her face.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, veteran, financial planning firm, father, and order of man, the Iron Council, and a book, brand new, number one, Sovereignty. So, Ryan Mickler, Ryan, what was the purpose of writing this book? I mean, what were you thinking when you finally said, I got to write this down? Because, I mean, I think that you were, in many ways, somehow compelled by something bigger than yourself.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, you bring up a really good point, something bigger than myself. I think that's what it all comes down to. And it's really easy for me to say, you know, this is my purpose in this world, and this is what I'm born to do. But I didn't always know that. And I had a struggle, just like anybody has a struggle, right? As entrepreneurs, as just people in general, like, life is a struggle. And it's actually designed to be that way. And it's actually, in a lot of ways, it's good. It's a good thing that it's a struggle. But I think that we go through those struggles for ourselves, to improve ourselves and to learn the lessons that we need to learn. But then also, I think there's an obligation that we have to bring ideas and thoughts and those struggles to the marketplace and really help other people with the same things that, you know, we've been dealing with and we've been going through in our own lives.
Yeah.
So for me, it was all the culmination of challenges, and I'm sure we'll get into some of those challenges that compelled me to share some of my story with men across the planet. And the more I started to share this, the more I realized that, man, a lot of guys are going through the same issues. But here's the deal. We're really good at masking this stuff. We're really good at pretending that we have this all figured out, when in all reality, there's a lot of us, myself included, and I'm sure even you to a degree, have
Absolutely.
These things that are just burning within inside of us.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, it's funny. I know that every man listening, shaking his head going, yep, because we are good. We don't show emotions. Listen, when I was 30 years old, I'm pretty transparent. I don't really have much that I hide in my life. I don't hide anything, truthfully, but when I was 30 years old, on my birthday, my wife gave birth to a baby that died in the womb on my birthday, on my 30th birthday. And, you know, it was a horrible, horrible, horrible experience. It was our second child. So, I mean, it was just, you know, she was 7 months pregnant. It was just a complication. And, you know, I never cried about that. I needed to be strong. I was holding my 3-year-old son on my shoulder asleep when the doctor told us, and it was just her and I. And of course, she is, you know, falling apart. My son is asleep on my shoulder. And I remember thinking, I must be strong. I must be the man that I've always been prepared to be right now and not fall apart. And I went and I called my father and I said, the baby died. And he said, what? I said, the baby died that Jan was carrying, that she's, you know, close to giving birth to, but she's going to give birth today because it died. And my father says, you know, he's a wise man. I give him a lot of credit. He says, well, that's very sad and it's horrible. He says, but the good Lord knows what he's doing. And just like a tree drops a leaf that's not perfect, the good Lord wants you to have a perfect child, so this one gets dropped. in essence, like the tree drops a leaf. And I realized in that moment that it was a blessing, that he's right. I have a friend that has a child that is, you know, not perfect, you might say, and it is consuming that person's life. And so I felt like, okay, I got a blessing. But back to my point, I never cried. I held those emotions inside. I masked them with very, very, very much distraction in my life. And it actually altered my life, because then I became a distraction artist from my own pain. So I think that men, and I know you men and even women that are listening, understands the pain that I was going through, that I stayed strong. And I think that soldiers and our military have to be, are called to be that kind of strong. You can't cry when things get scary. You can't cry if your arm gets half blown off and you've got to still keep running or you're gonna die. You know, the stories are horrible that we've all heard and you've probably seen, but you've got to just be strong. So with that strength, it takes a whole lot of courage, and it takes a whole lot of, you know, psychological stuff that sometimes we don't know how to undo. So that's why I find, you know, guys like you, the battle for the hearts and minds of men and women, because at the end of the day, this all is relative to the, you know, anybody that is suffering in some way or shape or form. But I love these, you know, this book, Sovereignty, the part one, the battle, part two, the mission, part three, the code of conduct. I love how you laid this out, but I almost wished you would have reversed the order, because I see, you know, chapter seven is self-reliance, chapter eight, intentionality, chapter nine, discernment, chapter 10, wisdom, chapter 11, ownership, chapter 12, strength, chapter 13, humility, then integrity, then conviction, then self-awareness. I mean, it's like these could all have been chapter one, each one. So I can't wait to see how you laid this out. Now, I got another break. Tell me about the book just a little bit more. What drove you in that 1 minute we have till we take a break to start putting it down? What was that moment?
Really succinctly, my wife and I went through a separation, and I realized at that moment life wasn't as perfect as I had fooled myself into believing it was. And I started having these conversations with men, my friends in particular, about what I was going through. And I realized very quickly that there's a lot of other guys that are dealing with the same issues I was. And the more I talked about it, the more I gave them permission to talk about those things as well. It was liberating for me, and it was liberating for them.
Totally awesome. Totally awesome. All right. We're going to come right back with more Ryan Mickler, and we're going to get into this book now. I know I shared one of my sad stories, but you know what? That is what makes me the man who I am today, enduring and searching for the answers. That's what this show's about, Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So listen up, ladies and gentlemen, I have Ryan Mickler on the phone, founder of Order of Man and the Iron Council, orderofman.com on the web. Look him up. You will be pleased, and it'll be a life changer for you. You can follow him at Instagram and Twitter at Order of Man. But his new book that is out right now just came out already, number one. How long did it take, Sovereignty? How long did it take to get number one on Amazon?
Well, in all fairness, it's a number one in several different categories, not one of all of Amazon. So I want to be fair there.
No, it's fair, fair.
But we actually hit number one very, very quickly, because we've got a loyal tribe, a loyal audience of people who already know the message. And so I would say within the first, 5 to 10 hours or so, we were climbing up those charts. So it actually happened very, very quickly.
That's awesome. But that tells you people are hungry, man. You throw a piece of steak in a lion's den, and it ain't going to last 5 or 10 hours. That's the same kind of a deal. This is a giant piece of steak to hungry lions. And, you know, Sovereignty is the book we're talking about, and we're talking with Ryan Mickler. He's the author. Okay, let's just jump right into it. Part one, part two, part three. The battle is part one. The mission is part two. Code of conduct, where do we start?
I think we probably ought to start with part two. I mean, the part one is the battle. And I think most of us probably know to some degree, at least what our battle is and what we're dealing with is whether that's as an entrepreneur or whether that's as a husband or a mother, like you were talking about with women, or we all kind of know what we're dealing with. And those are those internal battles that we wrestle with. But I think the most important starting point for this is part two, the mission. And I think what's happened is I think there's a lot of men out there who have really lost sight of what their purpose is, or even to some degree don't even know that they have a purpose. I mean, I look around and I look in these guys' eyes and I see that it's soulless, it's lifeless, and they've resigned themselves to this life of complacency and mediocrity, and then subjected themselves to their employment. And I see it, and I know what it's like because I've been there. I've actually been in that position.
I think we all
know. So for me, the mission is all about teaching what our roles and responsibilities are. And I found that when men step into these callings in different ways, we all have a different way we do it. But when we step into these callings, a life in a way turns on. It's like flipping a switch on the wall, and things light up, and you get passion and excitement and engagement. You want to get out of bed and you want to do what you were born to do.
Yeah. Well, I know what you're talking about. It's like looking into the eyes of a goat and knowing that they look at you, they look right back at you and think, I wonder if I can eat his shoelaces. Because, you know, that's all they care
exactly.
about.
We actually had 26 goats on our property at one time. So we know a thing or two about goats.
Right. So, okay, well, you were talking about this is like a light. And I guess in the good book it says like a lamp unto your feet, right? So it shows you a path, a direction. And we're talking about the book Sovereignty, the mission. So how would you explain that mission that you're on, and you could help others to follow on that same kind of a path, you might say?
This was a challenge, and of course, I'm still learning and figuring out what the mission is for me, but I think the underlying responsibilities, if you will, and this is an interesting thought and conversation. I was having a conversation with my friend. We were talking about rights and responsibilities, and he said, you know, rights are wonderful. We have certain rights as citizens of the United States, which is a wonderful thing. But he says the better thing to strive for is responsibilities, because when we uphold and adhere to our responsibilities, we reap the benefits of that so much more than the default of rights. And we as men have responsibilities, and those responsibilities are to first protect, second to provide, and third to preside. And that is what I found, that when I've, again, stepped into these roles and these callings, like, I come alive. Protect is about taking care of myself. It's about taking care of those under my care, even those that cannot protect themselves. That's our responsibility as men. Provide is certainly financial provision, but it goes so much deeper than that as well. It's mental provision. It's emotional support. It's spiritual provision. And then the preside component, this gets lost a little bit in the translation, but preside is about leadership. It's about vision. It's about knowing what you want, being able to cast that vision, and then helping people get to a place they could not have imagined going on their own, whether that's your children, your spouse, employees, clients. This is what Preside is all about.
Mm. So that, by the way, part two, the mission, he just talked about chapter 4, 5, and 6, protect, provide, and preside. Give me a couple of minutes on part three, the code of conduct. So once we've gotten those down, now, by the way, you guys, check it out on Amazon. The book is called Sovereignty. And I want to also ask you in the next segment about where you got that name and why, but give us a little bit on the code of conduct, part three.
Sure. So I titled it The Code of Conduct. I almost am looking at now thinking I should have considered titling it A Code of Conduct. I don't want this to be the end-all, say-all. I don't want this to be the thing where men feel like, oh, we have to adhere to this. Like, this is the way you do it. It's certainly not. It's simply a way to do it. But if you look at every organization, every civilization, every company, every successful individual, all of those organizations and people operate by a set of parameters, self-imposed parameters, things they will do and things they won't do. And what I've noticed is that when a human being does not identify what those set of parameters are for himself, whether that's religious parameters or parameters within an organization or just moral principles in general, they have a harder time in situations that are difficult, whether that's a temptation to step out on his spouse, for example, or be out of integrity within his business and with his clients. But when you have a code of conduct, you've identified things that you will do, things that you won't do, the values, the principles that are important to you and that you operate life by, it's significantly easier to make those decisions and be clear in the decisions that you make outside of the emotions and getting caught up in the moment when it's very easy and very tempting to stray from what you would normally do.
Could this be called a personal mission statement?
I think the mission is more of the objective. This would be what I would consider more in the military, the standard operating procedure, mm-hmm. which is the way that you complete the mission. So the mission is what you want. The code of conduct is the way that you're going to conduct yourself to achieve those objectives.
Man, this is definitely such a valuable book. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Sovereignty, the battle for the hearts and minds of men. We're talking to Ryan Mickler, orderofman.com on the web. It is Entrepreneur Weekly, and I think that this is really important for our lives as entrepreneurs. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And never forgetting the importance of being honest and compassionate and understanding when you go home. Because as an entrepreneur, we take everything home with us, and sometimes we take a load of shiznit home and drop it on our families. And I think we're all guilty of that one time or another. I think there would be a very small group of people that have not done that being an entrepreneur, because you eat, breathe, and sleep. And now sleep is interrupted even by these little smartphones we have in our hands. In the middle of the night, I'm waking up seeing if somebody's responded to an email I sent yesterday, or checking my Facebook or doing it. It's like, oh my God, I can't escape it anywhere. We're talking to Ryan Mickler. Orderofman.com is his website, and the Iron Council, you can become a part of that. You can check it out at orderofman.com. His new book, Sovereignty. And I think that these chapters that we're covering in the code of conduct, a code of conduct, he says, there's 12 or 13 in this code of conduct, starting with self-reliance. Intentionality. Why didn't you just say intention, Ryan? Because that's part of it. But you kind of put a little twist on that with intentionality. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we come back down to virtues. So what is a virtue that you could develop and articulate? And that's certainly one of that, intentionality. When you approach a situation or a conversation or an activity, are you operating in a default mode? And most of us, what we do is we create these patterns in our lives. And the patterns are good. The patterns are designed to keep us effective and efficient. But what ends up happening is we condition ourselves to find these little patterns in our lives and then operate by this code that we create. Consider a computer carrying out these codes. Wonderful thing, creates a lot of efficiencies in our lives, but very rarely do we question whether it's right or wrong. We've all been conditioned by other people, our parents, our environments, our school teachers, potential employers,
right,
to believe and think and act a certain way. And intentionality is about approaching life and asking at the end of the day, is the way that I'm operating really true? What scripts have I told myself, and are they serving me or are they hindering me?
Give me like 30 seconds on each one of these. Just behind that is chapter 9, discernment.
Yeah, so discernment is understanding what's within your control and what's not within your control. So a lot of people will place blame on other people and, oh, the economy, and oh, the president, oh, this boss, and oh, this, and oh, that, and my vendor didn't get this out on time. And some of that may be true, but at the end of the day, there's only a few things that you can control. And when you focus on the things that are within your control, you give yourself ultimate power to do something about it, rather than having to wait for someone to change or to do something on their own free will. So this is about wrestling control back in your life.
I basically see that you are trying to lead people on a journey back to consciousness, because we fall asleep at the wheel sometimes. Next one, chapter 10, wisdom. That's an easy one. That's a fun one. I'm going to wonder how you're going to give me 30 seconds on wisdom, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go through 30, but you know, here's the interesting thing. I'll give you one little example on this. There's a term that's being tossed around these days, and the term is my truth. That's my truth.
Right.
Well, there really is no my truth,
right?
There is the truth.
Right.
And everything else is an opinion or a perspective.
Yeah.
And so wisdom is about making decisions based on objective reality, not subjective opinions and the things that we're being told.
Yeah.
Fake news, if you will.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is my wife has said to me, you know, I'm just telling you my truth. And I understand where she's coming from, which is this she believes to the core of her being. So it is definitely her opinion, but it is what she believes to be true. So I understand why people say my truth. But there is only one ultimate truth. All right. Now, next is chapter 11 is ownership.
Ownership is about owning everything about your life. When things go wrong, again, it's very easy to blame other people. When employees, for example, aren't performing within my business, it's very easy for me to think, well, why doesn't this person get it? Or why did this person not do X, Y, and Z? But if I really took a step back, maybe, quite honestly, that person, for whatever reason, is incapable of doing that. And who hired that person? Who kept that person around for so long? This is how we gain control of our lives, when we start looking about and looking at the things that are within, again, our control, and then we own the responsibility of our choices, our beliefs, and most importantly, their consequences. You have to accept the consequences for your choices. Mm. Most people pawn them off, and it does damage. It really leaves a lot of blind spots in people's lives.
The book is available on Amazon. It is called Sovereignty. You can download it right now or wait for a hardback, because I believe they've already sold out. But that's what's so awesome about working your way up to number one. So next is chapter 12, Strength.
Strength is obviously physical strength. That's important. But the story that you told with your child is a perfect example. There are moments where you need to be strong. And I think the way that you handle that in the course of the presence of your three-year-old and the presence of your wife, that's what men are required to do. And I'm not saying that that's the only way we should behave, but I am saying that there's times where we need to be strong. I even look as an entrepreneur. I mean, things go wrong on a daily, on an hourly basis. A vendor doesn't get something on time, or a client wants a refund, or we don't have an idea, or whatever it could be. It's the mental strength. It's the emotional resiliency and fortitude to see those things through. It's the only thing that separates those entrepreneurs, in this case, like we're talking about, from the ones who have an idea and fail, between the ones who have that idea and stick through to the end, is that mental and emotional strength required to succeed.
It's awesome. We are talking to Ryan Mickler, Order of Man, the Iron Council. You can find him at orderofman.com. His book, we're talking about it, rolling through some of the chapters, is Sovereignty, the Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Men, right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. And we have one more segment. Stay with us.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Hey, sister. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Ryan Mickler's on the phone with us. I want to make sure I get as much time in as possible, so I will say as least I can. Order of Man, orderofman.com. Real easy to remember, orderofman.com. You men and you women both should go check it out. His new book, Sovereignty. If you truly want to change your life as a human being and an entrepreneur, this will help you. I've not read it, but I know the man. I see what he's doing. I follow him, and I know that this is a map for humanity. And I think this is really going to be a life changer and game changer for me and everyone else that spends the time to read it. We're going to go back to the chapters, and I'm going to give you a lightning round, starting with strength. I think we just did. So humility, chapter 13.
So humility is understanding and recognizing that you don't know it all and you don't have it figured out, very simply. And the more that you display humility in your life, the more you open yourself up to growth opportunities and expansion and the things that are going to serve you outside of that ego and the pride that keeps us trapped and doesn't let us see the blind spots that we have.
Chapter 14, integrity.
Very simply, integrity is about being a person of your word. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's very simple. Anything outside of that makes you a liar. I know that sounds harsh, but that's the reality. Are you going to do what you say you're going to do. If you say you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it and you said you would, just don't say it in the first place.
There you go. Chapter 15 in Sovereignty, Conviction.
Conviction is about believing deep down in your gut and in your soul that what you're saying, the way you're behaving, and the things that you're doing are accurate. It's a really challenging scenario when there's these discrepancies between the way that you think about life and the way you're actually living it. The more that you can get congruent between what you know to be true and how you're acting in your life, the more successful you'll be.
Chapter 16, Self-Awareness.
So self-awareness is a word that gets tossed around quite a bit, but at the end of the day, it's a buzzword. But at the end of the day, self-awareness is about knowing why you do the things that you do, why you operate the way that you operate. When you're telling yourself things, why are you telling yourself those things? Where do those thoughts and ideas come from? When you start to understand why you operate that way, you're much more capable of stepping more into those roles that are actually serving you. It makes you a whole lot stronger when you understand the why behind the what that you're actually doing.
Which leads right into chapter 17, Discipline.
So discipline is about waking up and doing exactly what you know needs to be done. This is the one virtue I believe that separates all successful people from the rest. It's the ability to drive through, to continue to do the daily actions and habits that you know you need to do in the face of not wanting to do it. I know I wake up and there's certain things that I don't want to do or don't feel like doing, but quite honestly, that has no relevancy in whether or not I do it because I've already made the decision to do it and proven to myself that I can be disciplined to see it through.
Mm. Chapter 18, Mastery.
This one is one of my favorites. When I talk about mastery, what I'm really referring to, and this is going to be a little interesting thought, that winning is not enough. It's just not. It's not enough for me. I don't want to win. I want to be better than I was yesterday. And so if you look at losers, for example, losers will quit. Bottom line, that's the definition of a loser. They'll quit. Winners will eventually retire or cap out. They'll plateau. But if you look at a master never stops. He continues to get better every single day. And it doesn't really matter how he compares himself to other people. He will continue to be better than himself the day before.
Hmm. Courage, the last chapter, 19.
So courage is about just going out there and taking action. I know everybody listening to this show has at least to some degree, some level of courage because they're entrepreneurs, right? And we're out into the world and we're asking other people to judge our products and our services and the way that we interact and the way that we show up in the world. And courage is the way you do it. A lot of people talk about wanting to be more confident, but at the end of the day, you've got to earn that confidence. And confidence only comes through you taking the actions required to earn that confidence. And that only comes through being courageous enough to take the next step, whatever that next step actually looks like.
Hmm. Well, I got to tell you, for those who are listening, if you want to find some clarity in your life, be it man or woman, he is theorderofman.com, but his book, Sovereignty, if you want to find clarity, this is a great starting place for entrepreneurs, for men, for women, for teenagers, for anybody that is trying to find out what life is all about. He's done a very good job, and I cannot wait to get the books in my hand. And I'll tell you something. I know the man. I've watched him for 6-8 months now. I love him. I cannot wait to get his book, and I hope that you feel the same way after this interview. Ryan, you are a good man. Keep up the good fight. I join you in the order of man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. That's what we're supposed to do here, Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll see you all next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.